men's dinner. I think there were 15 or 16 men at the dinner. And there was a Todd. It's Todd, yeah, Karen. He's over here. We were sitting in a group and he asked a question about the book of Acts. And do you know that the question he asked, every single one of us was stumped. We didn't know the answer at that point in time. And we only read that chapter 2 days ago. And I realized, like this morning, it's chapter 18. Of course, Paul is leaving Athens and he's going to Corinth. And I realized, just casual reading, you read it, you've done your duty for the day if you want to. And by the next day, what you read the previous day is gone. So, what was the little girl's name that Peter raised? Abitha. So we recognize, I recognize, man, casual reading doesn't help me one bit. I've got to study the Word of God to memorize the Word of God. All right, guys, this morning, more in 24. You still with me on that one? More in 24 as we've been going through it. Remember what John the Baptist said? What did he say? Come on, what did he say? John the Baptist. You see, for 3 weeks in a row, we've said that and now you're stumped. There we go, Todd, 100%. He said in John 3:30, amplified version, he must increase. In other words, his ministry is now declining. The ministry of Christ is coming to the foreground. And that's why he says, he must increase, I must decrease. He must grow more prominent and I must grow less so. And of course, Paul, what did he say? I don't look back, but what do? In Philippians 3:13, 14, brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't look back. I lengthen my stride. Why is he lengthening his stride? Too many people pursuing and running after him, or is he seeing the goal? He's seeing the goal, man. I lengthen my stride. So what you see happening around the world and in our country, just don't look back, just lengthen the stride. And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And remember Caleb? He took on the challenge of 85, and we're going to read that for the last time this morning in Joshua 14, verse 7 to 12. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought back an honest report, which he did. Very accurate report. My companions, the other guys, except for Joshua, my other guys, my companions that went with me, what did they do? So the moral of the story, don't listen to the majority. The moral of the story, listen to somebody that walks close with God. Discourage the people, but I stuck to my guns. Are you going to stick to your guns in the era we're living in, or are you going to throw the towel in? I stuck to my guns, totally with God, my God. That was the day that Moses solemnly promised, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. At age 40? You and your what? Your children's forever. Yes, you have lived. There's the emphasis. You have lived. Are there rewards living totally for God? Yes. Are there benefits? Are there perks? Yes. Now look at me. I like that. Look, there's another person that said that in the New Testament. Not in the same words. A little bit different. Follow me. He says, look at me. What are you referring to? His relationship with God, his sincerity with God. But look at me, look at my age, look at where I stand. Paul said, follow me as I am a follower of Christ. Look at me, God has kept me alive as he promised. It is now 45 years since God spoke the words to Moses. So how old is he? 85. Years in which Israel wandered in the desert, and of course everybody above 20 died. And here I am today, 85 years old. I don't know how many of us can say this. I'm as strong as I was the day Moses sent me out. I'm as strong as ever in the battle, whether coming or going. So give me this hill country where the giants are. The enemy is, give me this country, man, that God had promised me. So notice what he says, give me the country. But was it an easy walk to the country, or was there going to be a battle? There's going to be a battle. 85 years old, he says, give me this mountain. Give me the territory where the giants are. At 85, he's got his walker, he's got his stick. I don't know if he had a walker or stick. I think normally those guys are battle ready when they got a stick and a walker, like Uncle Joe, and he's got his walk over here. All right. So you yourself heard the report that the Anakim were there with their great fortress cities. But notice, if God goes with me, there's another phrase, if God is for us. Ah, that's exactly the point here. That's exactly the point. If God goes with me, I will drive them out just as God said. Did he conquer the land where the giants ruled? Yes. Why? He was willing to do his part, and he stuck to his guns. He served God faithfully. And as I said over the last 3 weeks, the point is not that it took 45 years for Caleb to get the inheritance, but why did he get the inheritance? And that's something that we've been dealing with over the last 3 weeks. We're going to end it today. Why did he get this inheritance? Because he had dope. He wasn't on dope. He had dope. He had determination. He was obedient to God no matter what. He persevered 40 years. He had energy and he had strength. And that's what we'll be looking at in a minute or six. Throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, there's examples from the Bible of people who persevered, people who went through struggles. You and I are not immune to struggles. We're going to have them. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. So we're going to have our struggles. We're in enemy territory, whether we like it or not. Now, there are some that have a theory. We've got to get the land ready. And once the land is ready, we're going to invite Jesus to come. Jesus doesn't need your invitation. He doesn't need my invitation. He comes when he wants to come. We've got to serve him faithfully. So that's a man that served him faithfully. And then I look at these guys in the Old Testament, New Testament. Their faith was deepened in God, and they inspired many people throughout the generations to where we are today. We briefly looked at Joseph last week as well. I'm going to mention him, most beloved by his father, multicolored dream coat. Color coat. And what did he do? He antagonized these brothers. I mean, he was the one that said, man, you're going to bow before me. And the younger brother is giving lip to the older brothers. They didn't like him. They wanted to get rid of him. And so they thought, well, let's get him out of father's house. And eventually, of course, he gets sold into slavery. And even there, we find that his dreams continue to be the thing that God had used him in. And we find in Egypt, Joseph's misfortunes continued as he was imprisoned because of a false accusation. But think about it. Because of his faithfulness, because of his determination, because of his obedience, because of his perseverance, because of his energy, what did God do? Honored him? Absolutely. Second in charge. Second in charge of Egypt under Pharaoh. Big drought coming. There's a hunger. And his father and family comes from Israel. Eventually they are reconciled. And what actually happens? If you want to put it this way, a nation was born. The nation Israel was born. It developed from there. And of course, because they had come, reconciled themselves with Joseph, Pharaoh gave them a whole piece of land. There they multiplied. And strangely, what happened? Next, Pharaoh said, you know what? There's too many of these guys now. They're becoming a threat. So they go into slavery. But we notice that God leads them out of that as well. But there's something that Joseph said, and it's not on the screen, Genesis 45, 7 to 8, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Wasn't you, wasn't my brothers. God had sent me over here to preserve a people for himself. And it turned out to be a vast nation, a great amount of people. Of course, the other one that had dope in his life, or followed dope if you want to, is Moses. We find these guys are all characters like us, human beings. They had their failures, they had their faults, but they had their victories. But through it all, you find individuals that had a heart for God. And that's what I'm suggesting this morning. Have a heart for God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the trials, regardless of the difficulties. Stick with God, because there's nobody else that can take you through the valleys but him. Moses never thought of leaving the Exodus or leading the Exodus of God's people in the promised land. He was a shepherd, slow of speech and tongue. In other words, he was a stutterer. Now you ask me, how can God use a stutterer? Come on, to be a spokesperson to a Pharaoh? God can use anybody, even a donkey, right? We won't use the other word. It got mixed up on Wednesday night at the Bible study. For those of you who were there, weren't there, well, no, forget it. Just let's leave it. We're in a different atmosphere this morning. He was a stutterer. God used him. Facing plagues, the Pharaoh's army, stubborn people. Moses had all sorts of struggles, but yet as a leader, he never gave up. But despite these struggles, he persevered. Listen to what he says. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You need only to be still, Exodus 14. That's the kind of character Moses was. Instilling something positive. Telling the people, trust God. Remember the spies that came back from Canaan? Negative. Two positive people, Joshua and Caleb. He has a man that has endured so much. And he says, guys, don't be afraid. God is in charge. David. Nearly everyone knows how David defeated Goliath. Slinging a stone, a shepherd boy. And now we find this young man is appointed as king of Israel. And we also see that the apple of God's eye, regardless of what he's done, God favored him. Beyond David's wrongdoings, we see a Bible character who repented. And this is what he says. In my trouble, I called to the Lord. I called to my God for help. In his temple, he heard my voice. He listened to my cry for help. What do we find? God is faithful to those that pursue him, that walk with him. So can we say we are defeated or we are victors? We are victors because of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest living people in the New Testament that lived is, of course, the Apostle Paul. What a character this guy was. Intellectual, but he had a lot of determination. How many times was he shipwrecked? How many times was he beaten? How many times was he left over to be dead, for dead? And what do we find? Determination. Determination. Obedience, perseverance, strength. If I'm not mistaken, he was beheaded in his late days. Known as the greatest missionary. And Paul serves as another inspiring Bible character who persevered. Many Bible characters complained and moaned and groaned and whined about their difficulties. Paul took a different approach. And the approach that I find that Paul had taken is amazing and also inspirational, because he gladly boasted when he was suffering. What? He gladly boasted when he was suffering? Paul spoke of the thorn of suffering, but he knew it was part of glorifying God. Listen to what he says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Oh, come on. What about positive confession, man? What does he say? I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Are we supposed to be running around boasting about our weaknesses, or are we going to boast about what Christ has done in us? We're going to face challenges. We're going to face weaknesses. But we recognize it doesn't matter what our condition and our state is. All we need is dope, determination, obedience, perseverance, energy. Because suffering is never easy for a Christian, especially when it's a test of faith. And Paul's words encourages us to let God's grace take over when we are weak. Struggles will always be part of the Christian journey. How many of you struggled this week? There's been challenges, guys. We see the challenges in our country. We see the challenges outside of our country. We see what's happening with our relationship with Israel. We see the turmoil within our country. We find persecution like we've never seen before. Last week I shared with you the tremendous amount of persecution that's going on in Nigeria. Just recently, a number of Christians were massacred in Kenya. Slowly but surely, the screws are getting tighter in our own country towards Christians. So what do we do with the persecution coming? With the intimidation coming to try and silence the child of God? What do we do? Do we just fold up and just crawl in our little hole? Or do we take a stand and say, I will not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the waterside. And I will go forward in Jesus' name and not compromise. Because sometimes we find it difficult to understand why all these challenges happen to us. But we see through the Word of God, it's part of the Christian walk. I think it's on the screen. One of the greatest characteristics of serving Jesus is what? Persevere. Through every struggle we face. When the challenges are there, it feels like we are weak. When the challenges are there, it seems like there's no way out. But I would like to assure you as a child of God, there's no struggle that He cannot take you through. Amen. There's no struggle that He cannot take you through. You persevere because of who you are in Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 verse 9. Living Bible translation. And let us not get tired of doing what is right. The question is, what is right? Because today's right is actually wrong. And yesterday's right was right. But today, right is wrong. Right according to the biblical concepts. Right according to the biblical passages. And it says, let us not get tired of what is right. For after a while, what while? How long is this while? After a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Here it comes now, guys. We're getting to the last part of dope. The energy, the strength. We're going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get. How easy is it to get discouraged? Have you been there? How easy is it to get out of discouragement? Discouragement is a trap. Discouragement sucks your energy. And that's why we need the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the day the Lord has made. I will. We operate at times I feel or I don't feel like it. No, this is the day the Lord has made. I will. There's no option. Rejoice and be glad in it. So this morning, serving God energetically, learning from Caleb, learning from Joshua, learning from Moses. We go through the line into the New Testament, even Peter, and of course, Paul. Serving God energetically. You don't need medication to do that. In Joshua 14:11, we cross-reference again. Today, I'm still as strong as when Moses sent me out. I can fight and go about my daily activities with the what? The same energy. Isn't it amazing as we get older, it seems like the energy is getting less? What's that 40-hour stuff that you can drink? Forget about that. The same energy I had then. He had his battles, but ultimately he lived a life of victory. What is energy? I have the same energy. Give me some synonyms. What's another synonym for energy? Power? Strength? The capacity for work or vigorous activity? Vigor? Power, strength, vitality, and intensity of expressing a speech delivered with energy and emotion. The following comes to mind when we look at the word energy. Vigorous. Come on, try and see yourself there. Power, strength, vitality, intensity, emotion, passion. And should these be characteristics of a child of God? Amen. For sure? Amen. How are you doing so far? You know what some folks say? Well, that's not my character. That's not the way I am. And I always say, that is true. That you're speaking about your human side. But the Bible says whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. So put on the new creation. And this is the new creation. Vigorous. Emotion. Passion. Enthusiasm. Now imagine if you and I can serve God with all the above manifested in our life. What do you think it will look like in our areas? In our church, if everybody could serve God with intensity, passion, enthusiasm. How are you doing? I'm barely surviving. Sure. How are you doing? I don't know if I'm going to make it. My. Where's the vitality? Where's the passion? Where's the enthusiasm? I think we would make a huge difference in our area, in our towns, in our homes, in our work, if we could apply this. I want you to look at Acts 17, verse 6. Amplified. But when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities. Oh, now we're getting into city talk a little bit. And this is what they were crying about. These men, which men? The Christians. They have turned the world upside down. And now what? They're here in Three Rivers. They're here in Three Rivers. All the people that turned the world upside down with this new called, so-called religion about Jesus that's risen from the dead and say, you've got to be born again. These nutcases are in our town and they're turning everybody upside down, right side up, inside out. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. There was energy. But let's pause for a moment. What eats your energy? Worry. Pressure. Depression. Fear. Long hours of working. Like he just shared with me, he's worked over, 60, 65 hours this week already. So what do we find? Those things can drain your strength. Fear. Another thing that can drain your strength is unhappiness. If you are continuously unhappy, it drains your strength. Sickness. Oh man, Heather was sick last week, I tell you what. Doubt. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. Continuous negative thoughts. Guys, if I can help you, don't spend too much time watching the social media. Don't spend too much time watching the cable networks. You're going to find brother is rising against brother, and people are rising against people. Be careful. Us Christians are from a different cloth. And we've got to go with biblical principles. Negative thoughts, words, all leads to negative actions. Our source of supply, our sustaining power is Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians, Amplified Version 2, verse 13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. Look what he's doing though. Read it with me. Energizing and the power and desire to do what? Both to will and to work for his good, his pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Nicole, go one back again, please. Energy. So the day you became born again, there's energizing power that is within you. So you're going to change characteristics. You're going to live out that which is within you. Energizing. Notice what he says. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you and in me. So right now, is God working in me or is the enemy working in me? Or forget about the enemy. Is it my old nature working within me or I'm allowing God to energize? And oftentimes we proclaim one thing, but we live a different thing. So within our daily life, let there be a good step, a stride that is being lengthened because of the energy that is within us. What energy is within us? The life of God, the Holy Spirit. If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in me, that's what we have. We've got the same power, and that's at energizing and creating the power and desire within every single one of us. In Mark 12, verse 30, Message translation. So love the Lord. Let's read this together. So love the Lord, your God. Let's pause a moment. We're isolating every other gods. And he's saying to you, so you, me, love the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. How must I love him? He says, command, I want you to love God. How must I love him? With all your passion, prayer, intelligence, and let's go back to that energy. Vigorous, vibrant, excitement. Should the Christian be noticeable in his energy? Should the Christian be noticeable in his joy? Absolutely. But do you see how easily the world gets a hold of us? How easily within the week we succumb to the pressures of the world, not recognizing that we are cut above, man. We are children of the living God. This passion, this prayer, this intelligence, this energy to serve God in Romans 12, verse 11. Oh, don't be lazy in doing what? What devotion? To God. to God. Oh, so you're one of those Christians. Yeah? You're one of those Christians that raise your hand. I actually raised both of them, yeah. So you believe in Jesus Christ risen from the dead? Yeah. You got a problem with that? Well, I don't believe it. That's your misfortune. Come on, guys. Look at this. Don't be lazy in showing your devotion. That's why he says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, as some of you are in the habit of doing. Hebrews 10:25. We're not onto that. We're onto this. Don't be lazy in showing your devotion. Wait a bit. Wait. Showing who? Guys, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. There's a difference between you and the non-believer. Amen. You and I were non-believers. Even non-believers believe. Yeah, so do the demons. The Bible says they believe and they shudder. So let's not use the non-believer. Let's go to the one that's not born again or not a follower, not a disciple of Christ. There's a distinct difference between somebody that's not a follower of Christ or a person that's not born again and the born again. Amen. The non-born again is a mere existence where you and I have come out of. But we found life in Jesus Christ, and he set us free from captivity. Now, this energy, showing our devotion to God. Oh, you go to church on Sunday? Yeah, I am the church. And then I discover, in this beautiful verse, use your energy to do what? Okay. Can you serve him without energy? If you're serving God, is there energy or is there not energy? Energy is neutral, man. You can use energy for negative purposes. You can use energy for positive purposes. Use your energy to serve God. So let's apply the message. Incorporate God into your daily life. And our responsibility is firstly to serve God wholeheartedly and secondly to help fellow Christians. I'm going to use three scriptures to close off this section this morning. Romans 14 verse 19, Message translation. Notice once again energy, because that's what we find in Caleb's life. We found it in Moses' life, Joshua's life. We find it in Paul's life, Peter's life. Let's agree to use all our energy. Oh, wait a bit. Nicole, go back one again. There's a different setting over here. Don't be lazy in showing your devotion. Use your energy to serve God. So now we find the first word over there, energy, is to serve God. But you cannot serve God and neglect the body. If this relationship is good, we've got to work on this relationship. We can't have a messed relationship here and say we're going to have a good relationship here, because this, all this, is the body of the one there. So we are the body of Jesus Christ. Now, notice, serve or use your energy to serve the Lord. Now, let's go to the next one. Look what it says. So let's agree to use what? To do what? In getting along with each other. Darn it. You know the old saying, with saints above, that will be glory. With saints below, that's another story. What do we find? So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. How's it going so far? Forget looking at your wife. Look at somebody else or boyfriend and girlfriend. Forget that too. Just how's it going out here? Can you get along with everybody? Try to. We try. But some folks can drive you nuts, right? Yeah. In getting along with each other. Notice what it says, though. This getting along with each other is not just a natural process. It's not a natural process. You've got to get all your energy. It says, doesn't use some energy. Use all the energy. That's why some of you are exhausted after you've been in my presence for half an hour. You've got to use all your energy to get along with me. I can also say vice versa if you want to, but I won't do that. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. And it says, help others. That's why I love Crossway, man. God's doing a great work amongst us. Help others with encouraging words. But 1 Peter 4 verse 11. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself. Wow. We're speaking through you. And that's actually where we are at. God is using us. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, yeah. So do it with what? All the strength. Helping others. Then notice the result. If you do the first lot, go back again, Nicole, please. Do you have the gift of speaking? Yeah. Okay, then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Yeah? Well, then do it with what? All the strength. Do you see the commitment? In other words, there's no half measures. There's no ways we're going to serve God half measures. We in or we out. No half measures yet. In or out. We're not sitting on the fence. We're making a stand. We are children of God. All the strength and energy that God, oh my gosh, where's this energy coming from? From God. All the energy, can he run out of energy? No. And he keeps on supplying. But you know what? If we don't use it, he can't supply it. I mean, we've got to use that energy. And then it keeps on filling, filling. Then everything you do, based on the first section, all the strength and energy that God supplies, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. One more scripture and we're done. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Let's read it together. Trust, another word for trust. Give me a synonym for trust. Faith, believe. Trust God from where? What does that mean? Fully, always, completely. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Do you know what? Many folks don't do that. They apply the second thing. What's the second thing? How many times have you and I tried to figure it out in this little brain head of ours? It doesn't make sense to me. Abraham, leave your country and follow me. No, 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 no. Where must I go? Don't you worry, I will lead you. And I'm going to make you into a great nation. That's what he told us. Leave your country. Tells us, leave South Africa. Come here. You nuts? Figured it out? How are we going to live? Where are we going to live? How are we going to eat? Don't figure it out. Trust God. Can God lead you astray? Nope. What happened if I don't know where he's taking me? It's okay. It's okay. Why is it okay? He knows what he's doing. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. I love this. I find a loophole. I always like finding loopholes. I found a loophole here. What is the loophole? Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out everything. What's the loophole? I can try and figure out something. So I concentrate on the something a little bit. Just to have my way a little bit, right? Don't try to figure out everything on your own. I try and figure out a little bit on my own, but guess what? It doesn't work. God, I was stupid. I'm dumb. Just, that's it. And when I say I'm dumb, he says, yes, I know, my son. Don't worry about it. So don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen. Very important Old Testament scripture ties in with the New Testament scripture. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Can we do that in the New Testament? Absolutely. Jesus says, "Am I sheep? Hear my voice." The sheep. How many sheep have we got here this morning? Can I hear it? Listen for God's voice. When? Guys, that's where we've got to zoom in a little bit. We want to just listen to God's voice in the big things or in challenges or in struggles. But when things are going well, we're not too interested in that voice anymore. God's voice must be part of your life and my life every moment. When you're at work, when you go to work, you concentrate also on communicating with your Father. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere. Yeah. Can God speak to us even while you are bowling? Yeah. He's the one. Yeah, there it comes, guys. He's the one who keeps you, me, on track. Amen. There's nobody else. We cannot go half measures here. He will keep you on track if you have dope. We've got to have that determination. We've got to have that obedience. We've got to have that perseverance. We've got to have that energy and strength. I think it's on the screen. God deserves to be served with all the energy of which we are capable. How much of our energy is used for our own pleasure? But if we're using that energy for our own pleasures, why can't we use that energy to serve Him as well? And that's why I encourage you. You know, many people don't have this idea or think differently of the idea of even raising of hands. People say, I don't raise my hands. Why not? Why not? It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of gratitude. Well, I'm going to just bow my knee. My mate, you're either going to bow it now or you're going to bow it later. But somewhere you're going to bow. Because He's the King. I think our whole concept of God is so minute. And we walk around and we do boast about the greatness of God. But I think if we actually, like Paul, encountered Christ, He fell down. If you and I have to be translated for 1 second into the holiness of God, we will not stand. There's a song you guys sung this morning. In your presence, I'm undone, man. I'm done. You know, we've got this great idea of God that we've put within our limited mind. Oh, He's the big daddy upstairs. He's the man upstairs. My mate. He's not the man upstairs. He's the King of glory. He's the creator of everything. In Him was life. He has no pre-existence. He is existing forever and ever. And if you and I find ourselves in the presence for 1 second in His presence, find ourselves before Him, I don't think we're going to stand, "Hi, how are you?" But don't we treat him like that sometimes? And that's why I get nauseated by people that have visions. And they so-called go to heaven and they come and share some of their experiences with us. It feels so nice for me as a human being. I'll never forget the one book that I read about one of these individuals. He went to heaven and Jesus took him down to the water and he was splashing water in Jesus' face. Give me a break, man. We want to bring this God that is eternal down to this level. We cannot. We cannot. He's holy. He's the great I am. Sin is not tolerated in his presence. Do you want to tell me I can't have fun with God? Well, fun is our concept. Only to realize you and I were created by him, for him, and for his own pleasure. So the folks come and tell us, no, I just splashed water into Jesus' face. I'll tell you what, when I see him, I will bow before him because of the price that he paid for me. Yes, I'm going to rule and reign with him throughout all eternity, but my mind cannot understand that concept because I'm human. Oh, there was another book written. What a bullet. I'm just going to vent a little bit. Is that okay? Well, tough luck. You're going to get it. Another book written. God's got a storehouse, a major warehouse. And this is what the revelation was of the guy that went to heaven. Came back and he wrote a book. And he wrote about this huge warehouse. I mean, warehouse like you can't imagine. And within the warehouse are cubicles. And in each cubicle are human parts. So when God's people pray, this is the revelation he had when he was dead or wherever he was to go see. I think he just had too much to sniff or I don't know what. When you pray for a replacement in body parts, God, my eye is dim and the other one is blind. The blind eye, I need repair. So God sends an angel to one of the cubicles in the warehouse and he sees what color your eye is and then he'll bring an eye and put a new eye in your socket. Of the same color. Well, somewhere I know some angel screwed up because I had some guys in the church that had one green eye and one blue eye, so some angel screwed up. And so we have these weird things happening that we want to bring God down to our level. If the service of God is worth anything, it is worth everything. One more. Serve God with energy that never tires. Notice? A persistency which will not be denied. You remember that scripture, knock and keep on knocking. Persistency which will not be denied and a courage which never fails. What's the moral of the story? What's the moral of the services over the last 4 weeks? Get dope. Get dope. It's free. Determination. Obedience. Perseverance. Energy. Strength. So how are you doing? Fantastic. Really? Have you been sick? Yeah. But I'm through it, but I'm fantastic. Sickness does not determine my energy in Christ. Christ determines my energy. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Can I worship him energetically when I'm sick? Absolutely. But we allow our bodies at times to dictate the way we want to serve him. If I've got to serve him with a walker, I'm going to serve him with a walker. If I'm going to serve him with that kind of walker, I'll get a motor on that thing that speeds it up a little bit. But I'm going to serve him. Because very, very soon, I'm going to see him. And oh, what a day that's going to be. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As I shared with you as I close. And I would like you to concentrate on that a little bit from now onwards until the Lord Jesus takes you. Last Wednesday and on Thursday at Jim Bishop's homegoing. I mentioned to you folks on Wednesday night, we are so excited about Christ, rightfully so. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you and I would not have entrance into heaven. I'm very excited about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us gifts, the church. He's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But in Corinthians, he's also given us the gifts to operate within the body. So the Holy Spirit is very precious to me as well. But we often neglect the Father. And I think it's very important, as I said on the Wednesday night and the Thursday, Jimmy has now been introduced to his Heavenly Father. And there's coming a time when you and I will be introduced. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be legions of angels that's going to escort me and say, I want to introduce you to your Father, not our Father, because they can't call him Father. Angels cannot call him Father. Only you and I can call him Father because of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, the Father, that he gave his only Son. And we concentrate so much on Jesus, rightfully so. But I want you to have a very closer walk with your Heavenly Father. Because now, at the moment, physically speaking, we are fatherless. But spiritually speaking, we've been given the authority to call him my Father. And I'm looking forward to that day when I will see him and say, my Father. And the Son is restored or reconciled because he's come home. He was away and he came to his senses and he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And based on that sacrifice, I can now say, my Father, I've been reconciled to you through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you this morning, serve God with dope, man. Serve him energetically. Serve him with joy. Serve him with enthusiasm. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. When we get to that place called heaven where he is, what a glorious time that's going to be. But this is preparation ground. Let's serve him because we love him. There's a beautiful song that the singers are going to sing, and Angel's going to lead us in that song. Yes, I will. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and then to come up and lead us in a song and worship him while you're